Detailers. The entry-level coding game started in 2016 with Anyo Ceramic Coatings. With its unique single-layer composite technology, Anyo allows detailers to achieve greater levels of success faster. With an application cost under $15, the deepest gloss levels and ability to apply in under 1 hour makes Anyo perfect for daily drivers needing 2 years of protection. That's right, 2 years protection for under $15 per install. And because you're a listener, get an additional 15% off with code DETAIL15. So get the coding that launched the entry-level coding game while others are just now trying to change their game. Anyo Ceramic Coatings, available on the Detail Supply app. And remember to use the code DETAIL15 to save 15% off your purchase.
Hey y'all, it's Noxie. Thanks for listening to the Detailed Solutions podcast. And now, a little bit more about one of our sponsors. Alex, have you heard about the paint assassins on Facebook?
No, Noxie, what's that?
I'm glad you asked, you wrinkled little booby. Paint assassins was started by a dude named Jason Bruno to where detailers can find the camaraderie that they're looking for without any of the negative trolling bullshit like other Facebook groups. Not only that, but they can compete with their work weekly, monthly, or yearly to win prizes. Oh, dude. And they make sick merchandise, so you always have fresh gear to wear.
Whoa.
Anyway, y'all want to check it out? Again, it's Paint Assassins on Facebook or Instagram. Check it out.
Warning, this episode contains shop talk. That means some naughty words are going to be said. If that's not your cup of tea, just stop now and go listen to something a little more kid-friendly. Thank you.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions podcast. This is another What's on Your Mind edition. As always, I've got Bruno, my right-hand man, here with me. Tonight, we have maybe a super scoop, possibly. I'm going to let my two guests introduce themselves. That way, we'll let everybody know what's going on tonight. So whoever wants to go first.
I'm just in silence over the super scoop.
Yeah, the super scoop. I'm Christy Giovanni. I'm one of the partners at Oberk Car Care. And then we're probably doing the super scoop introduction of David Patterson, the new member of the team, who's just joined us as of yesterday.
Yeah. I'm going to be doing like product development and kind of some social stuff, videos and nice things like that.
David's gonna get thrown to the fucking wall. We're gonna give him everything we can.
So I know it's been said, Dave, but congratulations on the switch.
Thank you.
Hopefully it's a step up.
Yeah,
I guess we'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah, for the moment's questionable, but
So Jason stole my thunder. I was going to be a kiss ass tonight. I am wearing my Oberk shirt. Jason made his own homie parking lot style Super Bowl misspelled, probably Oberk t-shirt.
No, man, I got the spelling right.
Yeah. So at least we're representing.
And I like that you guys are pronouncing it correctly too. It's Oberk, not Oberick. Obrak.
Oberk.
You know, we've kind of heard a little bit of everything over the past couple of years.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't
if anybody can do actual pronunciation, you'd be able to, you know, say it right.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, though. That's part of the fun. True. Yeah. Or it could be
Oberk. Our country's at an interesting spot, so you never know.
Yeah.
So So let's talk about Oberk for a little bit, because it is one of my favorite products. I have talked about it on the podcast before. I've been a, I guess, supporter and love with it since it dropped, what, two years ago now?
We launched in 2018, I believe.
Yeah. In fact, this t-shirt I'm wearing is OG. It's from that original deal you guys did, like when you bought like the package deal. I think there was like a huge discount, 20% discount or something like that. And I was like, the discount equals out to the price of the t-shirt. So it's like getting the t-shirt for free. So I threw the t-shirt in and I've worn it religiously for the past 2 years, really.
It's my favorite shirt.
Yeah.
usually known as the old man shirt that I designed. So day we'll bring it back. That's all right.
Well, then it fits Alex perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about Oberk. I mean, this is the first time I've got a chance to talk to Chris, really. Dave, I mean, you and I have talked, but it's always been about your, you know, previous deals. So,
take it away.
Yeah. I mean, let's give everybody, you know, if nobody knows, you know, give everybody a rundown. I mean, I know there's cut and polish, and then you guys got the pads, which, you know, huge fan of those as well.
Yeah. So basically Oberk is a, you know, we manufacture compounds and polishes and pads is kind of how we originally started a few years ago. A little bit about me and kind of how this all came about is I'm kind of a marketing guy more than anything. So I have an agency that kind of is specific towards detailing manufacturers. And a few years ago, I am just, let me throw this out here. I am the laziest person in the world. if there is a quick and cheaper or more effective way to do something, I'm going to probably even pay more to do that.
Right.
And so, you know, I like to wash cars and I like to clean cars and I like to look at cars, but I particularly don't love having to figure out thousands of different compounds, hundreds of different pads.
Right.
And that's really kind of what instituted a lot of this. So we tried to really simplify down what we do. And, you know, I know you can never make one compound, one pad and it be perfect, but we kind of, when we first were starting with it, we're trying to figure out what's the absolute core product that we can do that can knock out, and I like to say take out 80 to 90% of the defects on 80 to 90% of the cars. I think you're always going to have those outliers, right? You're going to have those cars that are too soft, too hard, and so on like that. So yeah, a few years ago, I started down this process of kind of starting to create this. And that's actually how me and David actually got reintroduced to each other. David and I actually have been high school friends.
Oh, wow. About
20 years. And I moved down to Illinois. And basically, Dave reached out. We started reconnecting. I started telling him some ideas. And we kind of just batted stuff back and forth. I don't know if you want to say anything more on that, Dave, about kind of how we got back in.
Yeah, just kind of shared my thoughts on what I thought was like beneficial to the detailing community, kind of based off of just seeing what else was out there and what was kind of needed. And I think one of the things that we all forget about as professional detailers is really how difficult it is when you first start, where you're just so confused, where I just remember when I first started, you know, back in like early 2000s and just being like super confused with everything outside of a 3M system. And obviously a 3M system made it simple. So we just kind of focused on like what could we develop for a detailer, not a body shop, that was a really easy to use core process that not only like a professional detailer would like and use, but that would be easy to train employees on to essentially like create a standard operating procedure relatively easily. Cause I think that's one of the things that detailers lack for the most part. So anything that they could make their process or how to duplicate their process easier to make their shop more profitable and grow, I think is something that contributes like unconsciously to detail.
Yeah. So we had to get down to a simplification to David's point, right? I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but I love like Minzerna, Sonax, like, you know, Hemi now. All these companies have been figuring it out for years.
Right.
But to me is like when there's 9 compounds and then there's 12 different pads, I'm fucking out. Yeah. Like to me, it's like, this is fucking ridiculous. So that's, and I'm not saying that's bad. I'm sure that works for them, you know, and I'm sure there's some profit in the confusion alone too.
Right.
But to me is like, if I have to spend $400 to figure out what's my winning $50 combo,
you
know, to me, that drives me nuts a little
bit. Well, and it's kind of like, it needs to be a system that has the quality and is something that, you know, something that you or I would use, but then also something that would be easy to use for an entry level person or a weekend warrior or an enthusiast where they could get what they think is the equal result to what you could get, you know,
right.
But in the same kind of mindset and have the same kind of success. So I just kind of contributed a lot of my thoughts and helping Chris develop that system.
Right.
And obviously through my work too. And just kind of contributed on the back end, just as a friend, you know, just kind of helping out and giving him my thoughts and where I thought he could, you know, develop something in our market.
Yep. Yeah. And I thought the goal originally was just to kind of have like, be nice to make like $1,000 a year and I'll just have tons of pads and I'll have tons of compounds and, things just kind of escalated. I don't know. I'm my own worst marketing company because I don't like to do stuff for myself. I like to do it for other companies. Right, so I was like, well, maybe I should give it a shot and send this to 30 YouTubers and 20 high-end detail guys. And it kind of just ballooned after that. Like it just kept going more and more. And I'm super thankful of the business that people give us. I feel like we earn it and I'm super appreciative of it. And, you know, late last year, I was basically in a situation of like, need to hire someone. This is I've got a full-time job and this is going nuts. So, you know, always been in contact with Dave and, yes, we just made it happen. So Dave is actually not only, going to be, part of Oberk as far as a team, but he's actually a partner now.
Right.
So not just an ambassador, but you know, Dave and I are literally kind of involved here, invested into the company together now.
Nice.
So, and that's what I was really looking for was someone who loved the system and,
he wants me to do all the work.
Yeah, I want him to do all the work.
He did say he's lazy, so.
I am lazy. I found the most cost-efficient way to bring somebody in.
I think David might have missed out. I mean, he did say earlier he would pay more to have it.
Yep. Yeah, so, and then, that's the goal. So we're going to try and do some more products. I mean, like, if this is true roundtable talk, like, you know, we're not dumb. We see all these ceramic coating and graphene coating products coming out in a spray form. And like, to me, we're kind of starting to go down that path. We have been for 2.5 years, but our research and development is so slow because we're so anal.
Right.
That I really wanted Dave to come on and kind of really, hey, what can we really bring besides like longevity to some of those products? You know, what can maybe like a super slickness. Like I love like Bead Maker and a couple of those other products that have extreme slickness, but don't have like, give me some life, you know, give me 6 months. I don't need it to be 10 years. And David's in for a whirlwind of all the fun that we're gonna bring him.
So you couldn't
ask for a better front man, right? I mean, the guy is super smiley.
Yeah. So that was one of the questions I was going to ask. Like, now are you looking to grow the brand more? Because like you said, I mean, you wanted to, it's kind of, you know, keep it simple, stupid, so to speak. You know, I mean, you have a cut, you have a polish, and then you have a cut pad, like a heavy cut pad, I guess you would say, with your microfiber.
Yep.
And then a phenomenal, that yellow pad. I love that yellow pad, like across the board, like whether it's I'm cutting with it or polishing with it, it does phenomenal. So you guys are definitely looking to grow more products, become more well-rounded, or just kind of, you know, what maybe you think needs.
I'll let David take this, because this was a big, big discussion for years for us.
Yeah, I think we'll have to see what we do with the, like the polish side of it, like how we can expand. I think we're interested in a heavier cutting compound, right, something that would like compete in the 101 arena. Just, you know, obviously we like our compound for the go-to, but
right,
there's always the occasion where you can use something that's a little bit heavier, and 101's always been kind of that product that cuts and still finishes pretty decently for what it is. I mean, it dusts a lot, but that's just the nature of the beast.
Right.
So we've considered that. We're also kind of looking at, you know, the protection end of it and kind of working from the outside. You know, obviously paint protection is, or paint products is our specialty, and that's where we'll kind of base all of our product development around. So anything regarding paint and the washing process or the polishing or protection process. And I think,
I mean, we've always had people ask about, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
yeah
we've always had people, the amount of messages we get of like like, you guys know what step three is, which is ceramic coatings and,
yeah,
you know, graphene or whatever, take sealants and so on. But the amount of consumers that have asked us, it sucks to tell them, look at one of these four different products that we recommend. And,
right,
you know, there's so many good fucking products out there.
Yeah. Right.
So
right.
many good things.
Yeah. And I don't think we want to compete against like the, you know, the ceramic companies or anything like that. I don't think that that's our goal, but we're definitely going to look into that type of protection. And I've got a few different ideas that I think that we can do, but ultimately the products have to perform and kind of meet that standard that we have already and that we want to have moving forward. But similar to kind of like that concept of how it's just unconsciously benefiting, you know, that business owner, that detailer, or whatever it is. So it has that value to the consumer, right, without it being like straight in your face, is kind of the idea as we develop more and more products. So the idea is to have those products have something unique about them that might not be right in your face, but that provides that significant value to the consumer, whether they're a professional or a weekend person, you know?
Right. So, excuse me. So Dave, with your past experience, are we going to look at some new pads coming around?
There we go.
I mean, I've been looking at it and thinking about it. It might be a little bit, but I think if we redo the system at all, we want to make sure it's something that's super, super, super solid and right, something that we've put a lot of thought into, just because if we're going to change anything about it, we want to, you know, build something that's there for the long term. And that's kind of hard to do with polishing pads, you know, with the market that's changing. But
right,
I think if we go about it the right way, we'll be able to create something that really stands out and is unique to us, you know, not only in color appearance, but performance, and something that will be somewhat timeless, you know, where
right,
people will still want to use it from 5 years ago or 5 years from now. And we're not right, looking to redevelop product every 2 years.
Okay. Just don't go messing with that yellow pad.
Yeah. That's the
jam. Everybody loves that.
Yellow I whenever I buy the yellow pad, it's, yeah, I always buy it in like tens, because
you got to come up with a name for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do have to brand some of this stuff. And as a branding guy, I'm shooting myself in the foot by not having
it. Right.
So
what are we paying for?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, yeah. I don't get paid anymore. So
yeah.
Me,
the marketing guy's got to do his job.
Yeah. Yep. No, absolutely.
Yeah. So Chris, I mean, I don't know if you remember, cause you guys did, I guess like give me a little bit of a shout out or whatever, but it was, let's see, it probably was a year, year and a half ago or whatever. So I don't know if you remember the, it was a red, like 80s era, Lotus Esprit, that I did a professional video all with O'Burke, tagged you guys in
the video.
And, you guys did give me a little, shout out on Instagram and nice. I think Facebook or whatever, like reposted it, like asked me to do video. So,
oh, then the problem is Facebook like buries a lot of times when people tag you on stuff. So I feel bad if I ever miss it, but yeah, dude, we are 100% thankful for anyone who tags us of any of their results. It's just, it's awesome to always see people get like a result they're looking for or blown out or, super appreciative for you even telling people what to use. I mean, you honestly, everybody is the best marketing person for us.
Right.
You know? And the best thing we could do is try and make the best product. And it's awesome if someone thought so well of it that they wanted to share it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. So I don't know if any of you guys heard the podcast that dropped Sunday night with Rudy Frazier over in the UK. Yeah. You got to get him some O'Burke, man. He's like, you keep talking about this stuff. He's like, we can't get it over here. And then, I showed him that video. Dave, I know you saw it. Chris, I don't know if you saw it. I posted that little video on Paint Assassins today where I did a black trailer. This guy asked me to give him a quote. And so that was just O'Burke cut with a, by hand with a, an applicator. Like a microfiber microfiber applicator, just to see what would happen with it. And then I told him, look, it could be a lot better, you know, with a machine. And he was blown away by it. And Rudy saw that and Rudy's like, I told him we were talking to you guys tonight. I kind of let it slip to him. And he's like, man, tell him I need some stuff over here in the UK. They gotta sell it over here.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully soon. Nice. Haven't confirmed everything, but hopefully we can work with John over at Clean and Shiny and get everything kind of rolled out over there.
It's it's been a big piece. It's been learning phase for us for sure.
Right.
At O'Burke about international shipping and what's required, and you got to mark all these, you know, crates and containers and
right.
It's 100%. You know, it's definitely a sticking point. We know we're dropping the ball on it currently, but we're hoping to change it. We've got a list of guys that we've kind of like, hey, just got one pad guy. He's joining on Monday. You know, he's going to pull all his hair out, but he's going to figure it out.
Right. And that's kind of what I figured. I mean, I figured it's probably not like, you know, you just can't throw it in a box and slap it on a truck and send it over. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff and,
the VAT is insane, you know, all the extra taxes and then how you have to claim it.
Right.
So you have to claim exactly what's in the box and box itself.
So yeah. You just need to
it's fun. You just need to get it's much get easier to make logos.
Yeah, just get a distributor over there and be done with it.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, no, for sure. It's definitely a priority for us.
Yeah. Nice. So with that being said, I mean, is O'Burke just here in North America or, I mean, is there anywhere else that's getting it?
Yeah, right now it's pretty much US, Canada, a little bit of Mexico.
Okay.
We've had a lot of interest, obviously, in the last week or last few days. I think Chris, you could probably speak about it more, but I think it was more of an issue of not ready to grow, you know, like for a while there was a number of, even in the US, distributors that wanted to pick up the product that just wasn't right for timing, right. You know, for what Chris was trying to do. And I think that was kind of the eye opener, that the simple thought of what we thought that, you know, going back to that simple thing that the consumer would appreciate, you know, at the core, right. Like worked more than what we could have ever thought, you know, combined with, you know, Chris's marketing stuff. So it just kind of took off and it was just issue where Chris was kind of like fighting him off with the stick.
Yeah. It's not, and it's a good problem to have, but as you know, as a process and efficiency guy, it sucks. It totally sucks. We dropped the ball on that aspect, but it was kind of like one of these situations of like selling 30 products in a month to selling 45 to 50 per day.
Yeah.
So, and it was like a click like that too.
Right.
And it hasn't stopped.
So I know you said earlier, you know, like you were just like, if I make an extra $1,000 or whatever. So was this really one of those things like you were like, I'll, you know, throw it against the wall and see if it sticks kind of thing. And all of a sudden it stuck and took over the whole wall and took over the whole house. And, you know, is that why maybe kind of the slow grow? Cause you weren't expecting it to do that. And you kind of weren't really looking for that in a sense.
You know, I think one is I am Captain Side Gig, you know, a little bit about my background is, I've sold a couple e-commerce companies in the past. I have an agency as well that is specifically in the detailing and food and beverage industries.
Right.
So it's nice when it does, you know, kick off and not slow grow. I was a little surprised of how the marketing was working. But honestly, that's a testament to really Dave and the team of figuring out the best products that we can absolutely come up with. I don't know if I'm just rambling or just fucking, you know, not really answering your question, you know?
No, I mean, I think you are. I mean, you know, my question was, you know, were you trying to keep it small and did it blow up without you kind of not wanting it? And you're kind of saying what happened.
Yeah, it's in that weird phase. It was in that weird phase of like, it's not enough to support. I'll say this right off the bat. I wanted David Patterson to be on O'Burke from day one. And David Patterson, unfortunately, has to get paid. You know, we asked him, I said, hey, David, will you please work for free? And he's like, nope. but, you know, I had to figure out a way to basically get my sales up enough where it would make sense to bring someone on like that. And so that's kind of that weird, right? That weird level of like, do enough, let's bring it in.
Right.
And so that's kind of really it, because it didn't have enough to just fill boxes of and sell the same product over and over. That's not enough for me. So we're just big on constant improvement. Do I think the system is the best thing since sliced bread? Fuck yes, of course I do. It's my own product, you know?
Right.
But there's always a way to improve your current product and bring on new stuff. And we just had to get to a point where we're getting enough sales in to actually bring someone on.
Gotcha.
Not that can't just fill boxes, but can actually bring us to that next level.
Right. And because now that you got Dave on, now you can kind of really like let go and kind of open the floodgates a little bit. Right. Because
that's actually Dave's middle name, Dave Floodgate Patterson.
Yeah.
With a double meaning.
Yes. Yeah, that's well,
at
the
least
goal.
Now it can really kind of push with growth and everything.
So this seems like it's been a long time coming.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say a long time coming. I'd say it was just bound something that, yeah, I mean, it worked out perfectly with, you know, what the opportunity for me, you know, in terms of ownership and stuff. So,
and Lake Country's been great to both of us. Yeah.
Like,
so, I mean, they're right in our backyard, you know?
Yeah.
So they've been, you know, super cool cats. Jay Snyder, the ownership there is fantastic. Don Sura, the sales manager, has been great to deal with. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, I have a marketing agency that's, you know, works with them.
Right.
But they, you know, they've been fantastic. And Jay has been a big supporter of David, of kind of taking not just pad development under his wing, but you know, Dave's a partner of O'Burke. So he's going to, beyond product development, I mean, he's got his finger on the button of what our next steps can actually be.
Nice.
Yeah. They were way more supportive of it than I could have ever hoped for and thought of. And so I'm thankful for that. I spent a lot, you know, almost 8 years there. So it was,
Yeah, they did a nice little write-up for you.
Yeah.
I thought that was, you know, very nice. You know, obviously, you know, no remorse there, you know, or no ill will, you know, on their part kind of deal. I mean, you know, it almost seems like if you're like, I made a mistake, take me back. They'd be like, okay, come on.
Yeah. So it was, so I wouldn't say it was a long time coming. It just kind of, the timing was right. And, just kind of wanted a change of pace and just kind of reevaluate, you know, what right. I was doing. I mean, Lake Country was a huge part of my professional and personal growth and, you know, outside of like the actual product development.
Right.
You know, I started a detail business. I didn't have much education. I went to school for collision repair. Detail shop was pretty good. You know, it was pretty cool. I made decent money, but nothing to like write home about, and ended up taking a job with Lake Country. And, you know, I got to travel around the world. For a guy that, you know, didn't do much, you know, college stuff right. outside of high school, like, you know, I have patents in my name. Like nice. Some of the stuff when I think about it is just kind of like it doesn't really feel real, you know, like, I've just been really privileged. I mean, like when we're joking around with different people, like I always tell people that I'm like a backyard engineer. So I'm like a backyard mechanic. Like I get to hang out with a whole bunch of really cool, smart guys.
Right.
And they like tell me really cool stuff. And I like comprehend a small percentage of that. And I'm like, all right. So like buffing pads, you know, and then yeah. I just try to come up with something, you know? And, so they've just been like a blessing, and I'm really thankful for everything that they've done. And
right.
But yeah, I'm just ready for the next phase.
Yeah. So was it definitely kind of like, you know, ready for something else? You feel like you kind of maybe did all you wanted to do or could do there? Or if the situation wasn't, would you still be riding Lake Country till, you know, the cows come home kind of deal?
I'd still be riding it. I mean, I think the big part was the ownership in the business and the ability right. to do what kind of like what I wanted and really have control over everything.
Gotcha.
Which I actually was able to do a lot of stuff at Lake Country. So it's not like that, but right. something that I have complete control over or have a large amount of control over, to kind of develop things and
right.
try it on my own and risk it.
Yeah.
On my own.
Oh, he's more than emotionally invested now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now his dreams of a hot pink foam pad that nobody's released finally come true. And we'll call it the Talladega Nights Edition.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be super dope.
See, someone said they like it right off the bat.
Sign me up. As long as it works, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Man, I just had a brain fart. You guys got me laughing about pink Talladega Nights pads. Oh, I know what I was gonna say. So Dave, you mentioned earlier about, you know, like maybe trying to do a compound that's got a little bit more bite to it, you know, nothing against the cut, but sometimes it doesn't hit. And that's what I've kind of always said when I talk to people, is it's a really good cut, but it just doesn't seem like it's got that heavy bite to it.
Right.
So, you know, what I guess I didn't know, and for anybody who's listening, maybe doesn't know, is
I'd like to also open up the floor. What are you seeing out there as heavy cuts that you love?
Oh boy!
I mean, if you were to narrow down,
oh boy!
If you were to narrow down to two, and I didn't mean to cut you off.
I mean, there's only three that I use that I feel are heavy cuts. I mean, I know two are a heavy cut. One, I'm not sure. It might be a similar cut to a Burke, but sometimes it feels like it cuts more. So my heaviest cut that I use is the ACA 500 from 3D. To me, that just, and the only thing I really use that for is German cars, right? With the ceramic clear paint on it, whatever. That stuff just kind of cuts into that better than anything I've used before. Scholl's Concept S2 Black is kind of been my new favorite. That's a really nice cut and it finishes down really well. And then the other one is Clear Cut, which that's the one I think, you know, sometimes I put that on a car and it kind of feels similar to a Burke a little bit. And then other times it feels like it's got a little bit more bite to it. And then O'Burke is my other one. So, I mean, those are pretty much my four compounds. And I, you know.
All great products. So,
yeah. I mean, I just kind of go with whatever. What I didn't know in the beginning, though, with O'Burke and the cut is, so I'm not a fan of microfiber pads. I'm just not. And so I was trying to use it with the yellow. And I'm like, this stuff's not cutting, you know, good enough or whatever. And then it was, you guys had posted up a video, some black Mercedes that was just annihilated.
The Connor video.
Yeah. And so it was like, you know, you guys did like one section with the microfiber, one section with the yellow, and showed kind of the difference. And it was 9 day difference. So again, since I don't really like microfiber, I just would throw it on wool and go from there, and it worked pretty well. So yeah.
So I mean, do you still don't use microfiber? You go wool then to foam?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and honestly, I'm using the Udo micro wool now. I mean, to me, that pad just,
that shit is a beast.
Yeah. I mean, I was using the Rupes wool because I really liked that pad. And then when the Udo stuff came out, and Jason sent me some pads to try out. And so the micro wool, for me, the micro wool with Schultz Concept S2 black was cutting out scratches and swirls. I forget what Carl was doing, better and easier than Schultz with the Rupes. So once that happened, I was throwing everything on the micro wool, and going there, and then going down to foam to polish it out.
Yeah, that's actually like a Japanese style product. So it's like, it's mirrored. It's very similar to a product that you might find in Japan. That's like, if you look at it, it's like little tiny twists, kind of like right. A traditional wool pad, but
yeah.
So Bruno, give it to me. What are the compounds? You seem excited. I want to hear.
If I got heavy cut compounds, you know, can't go wrong with Meguiar's. You know, M100, 101, 105. I have a compound, and forgive me because I forget who makes it. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't even say it. But it's like, it's a super cut compound, which like takes out 800 grit. And if I have something that's totally hammered and I'm just going to go to town on it, that's like my go-to. It's super dusty and super gritty. Hmm. Nice. So like, those are my top real cut compounds that, you know, if I'm going deep into the paint.
You still use 105 over 101?
Nah, not really, but I mean, it's up on my list.
Yeah. Well, 101.
Yeah. I mean, we've got something down the pipe.
Yeah.
I'm excited
that we've been working on. And
right.
Here's the thing is like, it's very hard for us to put our name on there when someone's already doing something so well.
Yeah.
So for us, it's gotta be, and it's very, very difficult to come out with game changing stuff. I mean, if this was a game of just like, oh, I could just buy this and put our name on it and walk away, I think we would probably sell more products, but that doesn't qualify for us, you know. Right, right. We prefer to get really nerdy with it, and yeah.
And it's got to be hard because I've mentioned a lot in the podcast, but to me, I mean, it's, you know, 1,000 grit, 1,200 grit, 1,500 grit. I mean, they're, for the most part, they're all kind of the same. You know, just how they're made up to do. I mean, they're all supposed to do the same thing. So, yeah. You know, it's got to be hard when there's a million different compounds out there that are essentially doing the same thing to kind of come up with something a little bit unique and, you know, that, but still does a great job. So I can only.
I think this is a perfect segue for David Patterson, because where he really stepped in for us was really develop and help me figure out, listen, you can come up with the best pad or you can come up with the best compound, but if they don't work seamlessly and,
right.
and together, you're really only taking 50% of what you can do. I mean, that's really David's kudos to him, because he's the one who kind of really gets down and dirty and, you know, always is texting, hey, do you got a real beat to shit car? I need to try something out, you know?
And the chemistry from compounds and polishes isn't as simple as people might think. Like, there's so many levels of abrasive and types of abrasive and the way that it's processed. And it's one of those things. I mean, even I did, you know, I did a training 2 years ago now and in Europe, where I learned more about like Menzura, like some of their polishes contain like three different types of abrasive. So they're not just like a diminishing alumina oxide, like you've read stuff, you know, forever, let's say, about, you know, diminishing abrasive, and it's, you know, alumina oxide, which is pretty much every polish for the most part is built up of that type of abrasive. But, you know, they also use ceramic abrasive and other types of abrasive, like, you know, some of their polishes have three different types of actual abrasive in it. So not only that, but I don't think people understand that like the slurries make up an equally as important component as the actual abrasive, you know, like, because however it slides will make a difference. However it reacts with the pad, like you can notice on some pads where compounds like spread out and they get real thin almost, like, and they spread it throughout the pad, where some of it stays like on the surface and cakes a little bit more. And that's not just like the actual viscosity of it, that's like different things that might make it seem a little bit more hydrophobic or hydrophilic on, like, you know, whether it sticks to the foam or whether it spreads from the foam. So all those things kind of play in together, and what seems very simple, like on the surface for most people, is it's pretty intricate. And then the other part of it is like the people, like the chemistry that actually goes into like the actual manufacturing of the abrasives itself is like, it's not the easiest thing to understand. And it's not that they don't share a lot of that information either, because a lot of the stuff is, you know, ultimately proprietary to them. It's how they have their protection on what they're manufacturing, so nobody can copy it. So it's kind of an interesting battle, to say the least.
I don't know what you're talking about. Everybody on fucking Facebook's a chemist.
Yeah. I wish I was too.
Buy GameStop. Buy GameStop and use this compound.
They're all chemists and financial advisors.
It's fucking crazy, dude.
Jesus Christ.
So that's what I like to do. I like to take like information from chemists and stuff like that. I mean, in all reality, like, I didn't do anything different when I worked with like country either. I mean, that's what I did. Like, I would essentially look at like high level foam chemistry. And I was like the bridge to understanding why something would react or do something different than another thing, and just like look at numbers and try to find some relation to why something would do something. I mean, really.
Fuck, you sound like you already went to college, man.
I know. It's nuts, right? I say it all the time. I put chemical on a pad and I go up and down and back and forth until scratches are gone. Like, that's all I know.
Rocket science.
Yeah. So some people out there have said that your guys' polish looks similar to, feels kind of similar to, works kind of similar to Rupes Kremic. I'm some people, by the way. is that anywhere close? I mean, is there some similarities to it? I mean, I think it works phenomenal. Honestly, I was a huge Kremic fan until Oberg Polish came out, and then I was like, wow, this stuff is, you know, kind of looks the same, kind of feels like it works the same, but I think it was a little bit better. So
yeah, I think it's similar. It's definitely different. And that kind of falls into some categories. There's been a lot of other comparisons too. And I think, you know, part of that is a lot of polishes share some similar chemistries.
Right.
You know, across a number of brands. So like, and I think that results from, you know, different people working throughout different companies in Europe, kind of like, you know, leaving one company, working with another one and redeveloping their products. So ours does, you know, look similar. It is totally different. But there are a lot of polishes out there that kind of have a similar appearance, where people be like, oh, I swear it's the exact same thing. And it's kind of funny when you hear some of the comments, just knowing different things. It's just, you just like, and
when you hear all the chemists,
it's the greatest compliment, I will say.
It's good. Yeah. It's a compliment.
Totally. It's I will say this, and you know, I am good at testing, but nowhere to the level of David. And I would say this, there's only so many ways to bake a cake.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you're going to need the main ingredients to achieve what you're kind of after for the most part. And so, yeah, you can put different icing and you could put different candles on it, but motherfucker, it's going to take flour, you know, and it's going to take water. So I'm sure there's some shared abrasives, you know, between some of these. We get that one. We get Sonax a lot. We get a couple other ones that are out there. And honestly, we kind of consider it like a super compliment more than anything that we're being compared to a brand that's been around for 40 years, you know.
Nice. Now, when you guys manufacture, I mean, obviously on the bottle it says made in Germany or whatever. So, I mean, are you getting all of the, I mean, like, is the blend center or whatever just absolutely making it for you? You guys get it, and then are you guys pouring it in bottles and labeling it, or is it all done like from the factory, and then all you guys are doing is just boxing it and shipping it? Or
no, we bottle, label, you know, fill, label, package and ship. So it's
all internal.
It comes in bulk and then it's pumped off. So it's. It's interesting.
You've got a lot of jobs. So, I mean, how do you find the time to do all that stuff and get packages out on time and everything?
God, you know, I'm a stickler on that shit.
You got married 5 times and none of them know. He's never around, so they pack boxes.
There you go.
Yep. A lot of late nights, a lot of weekend, a lot of pre-prepping stuff. I mean, David's definitely going to make life easier for sure on that aspect. I could tell you right off the bat, we'll probably be if things go the way they've been going within 90 days, we're going to probably have to hire another person right now, just to pack boxes at this rate. But yeah, it's super. Yeah. Just listen, I always treat it as a business for sure. But the problem is that this industry is also like a favorite of mine and a hobby. So it's not as bad to pack boxes and fill liquids when you're getting constant reviews of just like, you guys are doing great and so on. And it's like, that's been a big motivator more than anything, is kind of why you would sit around Saturday night and have pizza with 5 friends and pack, you know, take 55 gallon drums and shove it down to hundreds and hundreds of bottles to only last a couple of weeks, you know? So, yeah, I mean, we're trying to figure out our process a little bit more, where we can maybe have some machinery that can actually help us and assist us a little bit more. So, yeah, it's long nights.
Automation's good.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, I mean, like, are you like pumping it out of a 55, or you got a little spout, you turn the spout, fill the bottle up, cut the spout off?
It's interesting. They're like they're drum pumps, but it's because it's high. It's not like a,
I mean,
a hand pump that you get like with a thin chemical, you know, like a degreaser or something like that. It's pneumatic and it's different.
And you know, the real reason why we don't ship it from bottle straight from Germany to come over here, because we don't like the fucking bottle that it came in.
Oh yeah.
Can't squeeze the bottle, and we didn't like the top.
Huh.
So that's why Saturday and Sunday nights are called fuck you fill time, you know? So, I mean, that's kind of how far down the rabbit hole we go, is like, even the tops and the bottles have to be a certain way. Trust me, it would save a lot of time if it came prepackaged for sure. But it just, it just wasn't an option because all those materials that we liked were domestic here.
Okay. I gotcha.
And we don't buy enough to, hey, you know, we need 100,000 bottles. Inventory would take us a while to go through.
Yeah. So you just buy what you need when you need, kind of deal.
Yeah. It's
sometimes these days. It's like
sometimes you don't buy enough.
COVID was interesting.
8 month lead times on bottles and
caps. Oh,
and
yeah. You know what? You're right. Because
20,000 minimum quantity orders.
Yeah. Because most everybody knows my daughter does cheer, and one of the girls on her team, we're friends with the mom, and her mom works for a plastics company. Like, her job is to like allocate all the stuff to make plastics. And she's like, it's nuts. Like, yeah. Like she was telling us the other day, like she was the least senior person at her company with like 6 years. And she's like, this past year with everybody who's been with the company for like 15, 18, 20 years is now all gone to where she's the senior person at the company. Yeah. Because people are just like, I can't deal with the stress level of this, you know, like not being able to fill orders. Like I'm out. And she was saying about like how, you know, they have some people that, you know, only order so much, and they're like, no, in order to allocate this, you got to order way more.
Yep.
To make this work, and how long. So I didn't even think about that. You're right. Yeah.
Plastic bottles. Yep. Yeah. And you can't, and unfortunately we're really picky, you know, of like what we want, you know, there's no settling, to say the least.
Right. So, well, if we could get what we really wanted, you have to order like a gazillion of them.
Yeah. 500,000.
Oh, within reason. But yeah, no, I mean,
we'll get there.
I just ordered bottles just this week. I mean, just yesterday. And they told me there was an 8 month lead time.
Wow.
Yeah. November.
It's cheaper to just ship David to send them to each person at this stage. You know, we're going to call it the David Patterson O'Burke experience, where he arrives on a plane.
So are we going to get to a point where they just might be in whatever bottles you guys can find laying around the house, like empty ketchup bottles? And
luckily we haven't had to do that yet. We did make a bottle change recently, but unrelated to that. And hopefully we won't have to change. If we do, hopefully it's temporary. But
right.
I mean, I think people just need to stop using hand sanitizer. Supply and demand. Come on.
That's exactly what it is. Yep.
Knock it off.
Yeah.
I'm so clean. I'm just so clean all the time.
Just spit on them.
What I do with my hands, Ricky Bobby? Right. Put them down, goddammit.
Put the hot pink pad on them.
Yeah.
Yep. Fucking Talladega Nights pad. That's fucking coming out.
I hope so, dude. I want to be the first one with it.
I don't even care what it does. I just want one.
Seriously. Put it on my wall.
It could be like the worst pad in history. I just want to put it. I just want to have
just one. Just the fact that you want to call it the Talladega Night pad.
Yeah.
Is just enough for me to buy it.
The bag needs to say, if you're not first, you're last.
Yep. Yeah. Oh man.
So, Jason, come on, Jason, jump in.
Jason, here. Speak the fuck up, man.
Yeah.
I'm
tired of carrying this show, Jason.
Yeah, Jason.
I'm starstruck. Okay, I'm starstruck. But hey, you want
to
talk?
You talk to me all the time. What do you mean you're starstruck?
Can I ask you guys some questions here? Yeah. Just because I love marketing.
Yeah, gonna take over your show here.
Like, here we fucking go.
Listen, it's ASMR. It's what's on your mind, right? It's whatever.
I'm curious on an aspect of, you guys are both in Florida, right?
Yes, sir.
So how far are you guys booked out right now?
So I'm taking appointments tomorrow. If anybody I got kind of screwed this week. I would have been booked completely this week and most of next week for right now. But
so you're in the somewhere of the 3 to 10 business days, kind of somewhere in there usually.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of, so it's like, so spring break is next week. It usually kind of dips for me right around now.
Sure.
Kind of after spring break, beginning of April is when I start getting my summer legs going. And I mean, by the end of April, I could be booking into June and into July. I mean, it's just that crazy during the summertime.
Gotcha.
But I mean, it's been this year period has been weird. I mean, my January and February have been two of my busiest months period. And I was booking middle of January back in December and booking February and you know the beginning of January. So yeah, it's hard to tell you right now. I mean, this year so far has just been kind of different than usual.
And what about you, Jason?
I'm booked out probably 2.5-3 weeks right now.
Okay. And you guys usually get all your, and here David is like partially like zoning out and smiling probably at me because he knows like I go really down this fucking rabbit hole. Do you guys get most of your leads through referrals or is this all through website? Is this all Facebook?
I think it's a little bit of everything for me, man.
Yeah.
I have a lot of regulars that, you know, pass on the word. And I also have people that just go on Facebook, find us on Facebook. I've had people find us on Instagram, find us on our website. And we're pretty much, my shop's like rated high in Tampa. So usually when you Google auto detailing, mine's going to be the first or second detail shop on there.
We're looking it up for you right now.
Yeah. For me, Facebook and Instagram don't do anything. I've never gotten anything from there. For me, it's referrals and it's Google. Our AdWords does pretty well. I had a customer who that's what he does for a living. So we did some trade out work where he set up my AdWords and he's, you know, for the past 2 years, whenever I call him and say, hey man, things are kind of a little bit low, he'll go in and tweak everything and kind of reboost it and rework it. And then we start getting a shitload of phone calls again and get busy. And so between Google and referrals, that's where it is for me.
Gotcha. Yeah. I was just kind of curious. So we're in this process of building some websites perfectly aimed at detailers.
Nice.
I'm doing some like call to actions. I just feel like since this is a shoot at the shit kind of podcast right now, man, I see the amount of marketing companies that are out there that are selling shit websites to fucking detailers for goofy amounts of money.
Well, that was my mistake.
I don't know why people just don't build their own. Jesus.
Well, I mean,
it's not as easy.
Yeah. I mean,
trust me, I fucking know. Still working on my fucking website.
Forever.
Yeah. I made the mistake in the beginning. I jumped on with one of these
$99 a month things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even remember the name of the company. My buddy hooked me up with them and the only reason why I even did it was because I was trying to get pro when it first came out. And Corey's like, you know, you gotta have a website, dude. Like you meet all the requirements, but you gotta have a website. So we did that. You know, and honestly, in 2 years that we had it was, you know, it did its thing. But looking back on it, you know, what we ended up paying for our website to be done and done right, like in those 2 years, we probably paid way more.
Sure.
We could have built two websites, you know, but at the time I was, you know, small and just starting out, not making huge money. So, you know, to pay that $100 a month was a lot easier than the fork over, you know, $3,000.
Right.
Kind of deal. So it's one of those live and learn things, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was just curious to see what's kind of been the feedback of people to get referrals and stuff like that. So I just see a lot of companies fucking selling shit websites and it's kind of just irritating me quite a bit. Yeah. So we're starting down this process of building like super high converting websites.
Nice.
For $99 a month. And we're going to do like a video series of how to use them, how you can build more if you want more pages, right, and all that stuff. I was just curious where everybody, it's so amazing. Some people get all their leads from Facebook and some of them get, I don't fucking, Facebook doesn't do shit for me and it's all Google ads. So
yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I was just curious. I've got a buddy who's probably 30 miles from me and he gets a ton from Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make Instagram work for me for shit, or Facebook. And I even did one of those, like, you know, marketing companies that's, you know, hey, we'll do the algorithm for you for, you know, I forget what it was, a month. And I did like 3 months and got nothing. And I was like, never mind, people, you know. The one thing I like about the guy who does my AdWords is he had a, um, he, he was from Tennessee, and he had a detailer up there that he helped do stuff with. So he was already familiar with the right words and the lingo. Plus he's a guy that like switches up his cars every couple of years, and he always gets, you know, something cool and badass. And he's always doing, you know, some kind of coding or pancreas. So like he already knows the
lingo,
right. The lingo, and he's done the research on, you know, the work and stuff like that. So that's what made me really feel comfortable with him, because, you know, if I said paint correction, like he knew what it was. And, you know, when I say ceramic coatings and when I say that, like he already knows those words. It. Yeah.
And Dave, when you had your shop, where did you get all your leads?
My stuff was word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
But our area was, I mean, it was 2010.
Nothing was around back then, yeah. Right?
In our area, there wasn't much at all. Like, so I pretty much had the area around us. There wasn't anybody that really even competed doing the same type of work. So it wasn't, I didn't invest a lot into anything for the most part.
And now our area is like super saturated out of the blue. Yeah. In the past 2 years, I don't know about you guys, but we went from probably like 5 to 6 solid names, you know, guys that we deal with quite a bit. And it's got to be at least triple that right now in the past year and a half.
Florida is probably the most saturated area for detailers.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just because it's year round, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And it's so easy to get into.
It is.
I mean, you know, like when I look at guys like David, I think talking with Brian a couple of weeks ago, you know, and Brian's from that era of, you know, the forums, you know, that's where you got, you know, all your clientele, so to speak, or whatever, was on the forums. And that
you guys remember Brian's write-ups?
I've never read one of his, but I mean, I can only imagine. I mean,
who are you talking about? Brian who?
Brian Guy.
Yeah, oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
So yeah. AO Wheels was one of the original. He had some good write-ups.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and we talked about that, you know, the difference of, you know, what it was like then to what it's like now. You know, we talked about the write-ups, and, you know, one of the things I told Brian is I think those are really cool, but I don't, you know, detailers now don't need it. You know, you just throw a picture up on Facebook or on Instagram and, you know, or, you know, throw it on your website, and that's all you kind of need now. Different times for sure.
Instant gratification, right? Mm-hmm. Show me the before and afters.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't care what you did.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, when you think about it, the clients don't really care. I mean, I had a guy drive like 45 minutes 2 weeks ago to come see me just because he was searching detailing stuff, even though he was searching PPF, even though he already had his car done by somebody else. And he just found my website, liked the look of my website, liked my pictures, my befores and afters, and drove 45 minutes to come talk to me about the PPF job he already had done. Which then I turned around and started talking to him about ceramic. I said, well, now you're going to get the rest of the car done, dude. Let's ceramic. And, you know, so hopefully I'll end up hearing back from him, but
I'll give you guys a free tip. So we just did Exquisite Auto Spa's website up here in Milwaukee. And Chris Williams is a good friend of both Dave's and mine.
Uh-huh.
And the biggest thing that I don't see a lot of detailers doing on their own websites is having specific pages towards Tesla, having a specific page towards Corvettes, and just sub pages of galleries of like, this is what we did.
Right.
The amount of people that are searching for Corvette detailing, or they're looking for someone who has their car that they think is the aficionado on that car. Now you guys know there is no such thing as an aficionado on Corvette paint versus Tesla paint. If you're an aficionado on paint, you fucking got your bases covered.
Right.
But consumers don't understand that. I mean, if you look at like Jason Otterness's website, there's a reason why he's posting Teslas all over the place. And he'll even tell you, if he does any of those YouTube videos of them correcting a Tesla, he'll get 3 phone calls just off of that alone.
Wow.
Now, obviously Jason's got 150,000 followers.
Right.
But, I could tell you from Chris doing it when we did his website and putting up Tesla pages and stuff, some of those were like the biggest pieces of him getting people to come in.
Wow.
We're like, oh, a Tesla page. Oh, I mean, we did a Toyota, we did an Acura page. If you, the more specific you can get on your website of stuff like that, it's just like when you go and search stuff, you're getting very specific, right?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So it's the same. If I can give any kind of like piece of tidbit advice that's free, that's out there, that that detailers could be doing right now, I think that could be a huge piece for people for sure.
Yeah.
Some good advice right there.
I've stayed away from the Teslas. The Tesla people down here are cheap as shit.
Really?
I don't, at least the ones that I kind of get. I mean, there's a shitload.
Electric car people are cheap as shit.
Well, but there's a difference, right? So the
Model 3 probably didn't help this.
Right. So the Model S and the Model X, like those clients, if you can get them, will spend money because obviously they're buying a $100,000 car. They're going to spend the money. It's the Model 3 guys that, you know, just want to have a Tesla to have a Tesla.
Not the twin motor guys either.
No.
The front wheel drive solo motor, right. 114 miles. Yeah. Where'd you go today? I went to the gas station and I ran out of fucking battery.
You know, those guys are the ones that whenever they call me and, you know, like, I got to get a ceramic coating. And like, even if I give them a, you know, my lowest price, my starting, you know, ceramic, they're like, oh man, that's a bit much. So I try not to mess with them. I mean, obviously I don't ever turn down work, but if somebody calls me with a Tesla, I'll give them the rundown. I'll give them the sales pitch, but in the back of my mind, I know that the phone call is going to end with let me talk to my wife. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
I usually say when they say that, let me talk to your fucking wife, get her on the fucking phone. I'll talk to her.
And I've got a buddy who's like a master Tesla tech. And he's told me, he's like, dude, I'll never refer a Model 3 guy to you or your client to you. And I'm like, well, why not? And he's like, dude, those are the cheapest people. He had one guy that needed work done on the car. But the reason he needed the work was because he wasn't doing the upgrades to the system because he wasn't paying for them. He didn't have the money to pay for them.
Mm. So they had the software. You're saying.
Right. So they had to update the software in order to do the work on his car. And the guy like flipped out because it was like crazy amount of money. And I'm like,
See, up here, we don't have the infrastructure really for a lot of Tesla cars. So it's, Chicago does. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But there's the guys who have Teslas Model 3s, usually actually still want to spend money because they know they're getting into something that they have to charge at home nonstop. Right. You know, there's no, I haven't seen that. Yeah. It's just, I was just curious.
Yeah. No. That's a cool idea.
We have them around here, but we don't have a ton of them. It's not like Chicago or any big city where they're popular.
Yeah.
We're one step of Canada. We're at this very, very second back of the line.
Right.
You know, we just, oh yeah, that's nice. We'll get that, the battery, you know.
We're like an hour south of that.
Nice.
Before they start saying, hey there.
Yeah. Hey there, hi there, ho there.
Yeah, it's not that far off.
Nice.
As soon as you cross the border, you actually get like just a cheese head triangle thing. They put right on your forehead.
Hey man, I'm a Packers fan.
Are you? That's cool. No, we're both in Wisconsin. Dave and I live 25 minutes away from each other.
Nice.
So
yeah. No, I've got a cheese head. It's actually, I think my wife left it at her work. She put it on her desk and then
horrible.
A year ago got sent home for COVID. So
who thought it was a great idea to be like, hey, I'm gonna put a cheese on my head.
Well, dude, I mean,
you got three Packers fans here. Nobody's going to fight you on this one. Hey,
I don't know where it came from either, to be honest with you. But
well, because Wisconsin's the cheese state.
I know it's known for cheese.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're cheese heads up there.
What a thing to be known for.
But I just, the whole cheese hat thing, I guess. Yeah.
I'll take the cheese head versus like, what's your team name? Oh, we're the Cleveland
Patriots.
Browns.
I'm a Patriots fan.
Oh, you're a Patriot fan. I was going to rag on the Cleveland Browns. Like,
go ahead. They get ragged on all the time.
You know, and I was going to say Cleveland Brown. It's like, you know, I know that there's an ownership entity in there. That's why it's saying Brown. But I always think of like, oh, you guys are so fucking fantastic. You're named after a color that nobody loves, you know?
Right.
They should have poop emoji foam hats.
They should, listen, and they listen, should the throw Browns, those. Man, they the should Browns. Throw those at right. the end of the game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why everybody says I'm taking the Browns to the Super Bowl whenever you go to yeah. McDonald's, right?
That's
mean,
right.
Well, let's be fair. They made it to the playoffs. Man. They beat the Steelers.
They did. Cleveland was solid this year. Yeah, fuckers.
They did.
Trust me, I was very upset about it. This is the first year I ever had to do anything and not watch the Patriots in the playoffs.
This had to be hard for you this year.
It was, yeah. When Tom Brady went into the Super Bowl in a different uniform, it was heartbreaking.
Watching the golden child walk yeah. away from yeah. you.
And not only that, but he won it for
he
your
wins.
For
yeah.
your he won. Listen, I live 10 minutes from the fucking stadium, okay?
Wait, hang on. Let's go one better than that. Tell them whose cars you detailed today.
So my weekly regulars is the owner of the Buccaneers.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yep.
That's crazy.
That's so cool. Yeah, I get to go to his house every week and, you know, see all the Super Bowl shit, and I'm just like, fuck you.
Yeah, right. What kind of car does he got?
Yeah, hold on. Talk the best part.
He has a 2021 Bentley SUV, whatever the fuck they're called.
Oh, Bentayga.
Yeah, that thing is gorgeous. But he also has a 2021 Chrysler Pacifica Pinnacle, which is their minivan, but it's like the top of the line, dude. No yeah. shit. This thing is badass. It's like
everybody says that thing's fantastic.
Dude, it's so nice.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, you told me about it last night, but I forgot to look it up. I'm going to Google it right now while we're talking.
Wheat minivan.
I have to see.
Oh, are you guys car guys yourselves?
I am.
I don't call myself a car guy. I mean, I like cars, but I mean, I don't know, like, you know, specs and shit.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Dude, that thing's badass. It's even got,
isn't it?
Pillows in the back seat,
yeah, dude.
Leather pillows in the back seat.
There's only two things that can officially can date you as a human being. It's when you think minivans are fucking awesome, listen, and that when you sneeze and your back hurts, that means you're officially.
Well, so. My back doesn't hurt when I sneeze yet, but I don't think this minivan is cool. But I think those pillows.
I like it, and I mean
the leather
minivan. I would drive it.
Listen, the leather interior probably looks like his Bentley.
Alex Scott has cheerleaders in the house, so he's got to make them comfortable.
I want a minivan, but I want it like Gucci.
I want to make that shit Gucci. I want to make
if
that.
If they came out with that Hellcat minivan, then that'd be some shit.
Jesus, they would sell the shit out of that. I guarantee.
Oh, absolutely. I'd bring that shit to the track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody would.
Yeah.
Just be a whole bunch of old guys with minivans on the track.
Jesus.
So I had a situation that happened to me over the week. I shared this with Alex.
Yeah, that's right. It
threw me into like a whirlwind of confusion. And it's bizarre. I'll just say that. So I had this woman come into my shop looking for a quote and everything like that. You know, I gave her the whole spiel and everything. And then she asked me a question. She said, do you have a black person working for you? I said, no. And she goes, well, I'm going to take my business elsewhere then. And this was a white woman too. A white woman.
Well, see you guys later. All right.
I mean, basically I was just like, okay, you know, oh, bye. You know, I didn't know what to say because I was completely thrown off.
That's wild.
I just wanted to make sure somebody of, well, you're not. What's your background, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm half Italian and half Puerto Rican.
Okay. So I'm assuming she wanted somebody for cultural reasons.
I guess.
I mean,
she was living the BLM life, man.
Yeah.
Wild. That's crazy. Well, apparently.
Yeah, it's hard.
Hobart takes a stance that we love everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, but that's a hard thing to deal with because I mean, it's not like Jason's, you know, out there flying a Trump flag or a you know, white flag or whatever. I mean, he's a business. I mean, when we're businesses, we're open to everything and everybody, right? I mean, like the only color we care about is green.
What scared me the most was like I was afraid like she was gonna go on like Google and leave a review or something like that, you know, like hey, these guys don't have a person of color working for them, don't go there.
Yeah.
Mm.
I can't imagine anybody reading that. A lot of fucking volume. Yeah, I can't take any. I can't think that anybody that would read that could take it like seriously. Yeah, but you never know.
Such a small business like that, like who's gonna really think that? You know, it's weird, but yeah, I guess it's a first for everything, Jason.
Yeah. No shit.
Yeah,
it wasn't even hot.
You said
it's an
interesting.
It's an interesting world we live in. Without you know diving into that whole thing, but I just everybody's got something to say apparently.
My wife just told me that they're canceling Dr. Seuss books.
Oh yeah.
I didn't even know that. I mean, I don't remember anything about the books.
I mean, without like politics involved, like.
Uh-oh.
Does anybody realize what, like, the song of the year last year was?
Yeah.
What? Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And that, we're canceling fucking Dr. Seuss books when the song of the year was
Mr. Potato Head.
Wait, what?
The Mr. Muppets.
Potato Head. Why is Mr. Potato Head getting canceled?
No, he got canceled and then he came back.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, he came back, but they were canceling him because of the Mr. They just wanted it to be Potato Head.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, So
they have a Mrs. Potato Head.
Right. That was going to be my question. So is it Potato Head and Mrs. Potato Head, or was it just going to be Potato Head and you put whatever?
I don't even know how to think anymore.
This is the scariest time to be coming out with.
You know what's even scarier, right? So I read or I saw a thing that said that apparently Nostradamus, you know, who's predicted a bunch of stuff throughout the years, or you know, said that in 2021 scientists are going to create a virus that will turn humans into zombies.
Mm.
That's going to be fun.
So
I mean, it might be better than what's going on right now. So
right,
really, 2021's our year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are we caught up on Walking Dead? Do we know all our fighting tools and fighting techniques?
I got a cabinet full of guns.
Yeah. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
That's
Oh, man.
Yeah, I could see it.
It's a weird world. You know, it's different.
Right.
It's weird when you see all these people trying to take all these people of color off of labels, but they leave all the white people on the labels.
Yeah, I saw that one, too.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you won that one. Good job.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't exactly understand what some people are fighting for. I mean, I get it. I get a lot of it, but
at the same time, you don't.
Gotten a little bit crazy.
Yeah. Well, before we go in down a topic where everybody just kind of zones out and turns off the podcast, so we've got two guys on here that I'm interested in. Seeing if they will partake.
I know this one.
In a little segment we call Let's Shit on Noxie.
Jesus Christ.
That's easy. Oatmeal pie eating motherfucker. Can take some more reflection shots and
you know drive, he is right about drive wound put nuts. The light on it.
Yeah. Chris, you got anything you
want to say? I just don't, you know, he claims to be a human being, but I'm assuming once you are officially labeled as a ginger that you're just basically not qualifying as a human. So, I mean, I don't really have anything. I've met him a few times. I fucking love Noxie, but yeah, just.
We all do.
He's a damn animal.
He is a damn animal. He feeds on people's souls, so let's be honest. I mean, that's what gingers do, right?
He owns Alex.
Yeah,
he does. Unfortunately, I can't. That guy,
the man's an animal.
Yeah. You went to his shop, right?
Yeah, I'm going back the end of this month.
Ooh, he got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
time is a charm.
We're going back to Atlanta for Cheers. So we fly up Friday the 26th. So I'm gonna drop the kid and the wife off at the hotel and hop in the Uber and.
Where are you in Florida?
I'm in, just north of Orlando. So I'm in Sanford, which is like between Orlando and Daytona Beach, so to speak.
I may be out by you, Bruno. I'm going to be out by you this week.
We're at Tampa?
Yeah.
Nice.
No shit, man. Hit me up.
I will, for sure. I'm going doing the summit. So,
all right, bro. I'll be around, man.
Yeah, I'll hit you up.
What's the summit? Am I missing
Serum Summit?
Okay, okay. Don't they normally do that in Atlanta?
They do. This year they're doing it at a place in Tampa, and then
cool.
We're doing a Gloss University the day before.
Nice.
It's kind of like a mini class. It's a 2 4-hour classes in one day. So we're just doing entry level sanding and spot repair. And that's going to be at Presidential Detail, Billy's.
Okay.
Billy's.
That's one of the top ones in Tampa too.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's got a fantastic shop.
Yeah. I know it's new and it looks pretty awesome, but we're going to be doing that. Fly in Thursday, and then we're setting up Friday, doing the class Saturday, the summit Sunday and Monday, and then flying out Tuesday.
Nice.
And for people who don't know, David runs Gloss University, which is kind of a Kilmer. Yep, with Jason Kilmer.
That's what I was just getting ready to ask. So what are your, because I completely forgot about that. We've been talking about O'Burke so much. I forgot that you're doing Gloss University. So what are the plans for Gloss University for this year? Do you have anything kind of set up, or is it just kind of going to see what happens?
No, I think we're going to go in on it. So I think we're going to have another class coming up May. At Menard Premium Auto Detail in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. We'll do one with him and Jim Hutton. Noxie will come out to that. We'll do a class out there. I think we're going to try to do one. We're looking at a few different things. We're hoping that we can do another one at Ring Brothers. I got to follow up with them and see if that's okay. And then we want to do one in California or somewhere on the West Coast, and kind of spread them out throughout the country. We had a bunch planned for last year when we originally kicked it off. Like, we were going to do some international stuff too, and everything's got canceled. So we're going to kick it off pretty much mainly in the country now, and kind of spread it out. Try to do probably 3, maybe 4 this year if we can.
Nice.
Try to get, other people on board. It's obviously we will be using O'Burke products in a lot of the classes too, but it's not like a brand class either. Right. So we're gonna work with a bunch of different brands. Like the last class we did at Ring Brothers was 3M and BASF and a lot of different companies. So
nice.
We're gonna continue to do that. And I think the overall plan, for me, it's probably not something that I'll do super long term. Like, I want to be involved with it as long as I can and enjoy doing it. But I think it's something that we're kind of developing to create like kind of a training platform for Jason ultimately. And and kind of create something that's unique that he'll kind of do on his own.
Take over with. Are those typically what, 2 days classes, 3 day classes?
So we started with a 2 day class. That's what we're kind of trying to figure out right now, is what types of classes we want to do, and how long we want to do them,
Right.
So we have a number of ideas for, different types of classes with, let's say like a concourse class with Scott Nichols and Scottsdale, do like a hot rod class with, hopefully like Stefan Lundstrom out in California, or, anybody that wants to do a class, like we're always open to people that want to reach out to us too. It's not like one of those things, but we either want to do them
and the with experience somebody that's amazing too.
Somebody that offers like a significant niche value, like if they are a specialist in one specific thing, or if it's like a location that offers like a really good experience. Like, hopefully we can do more build shops, kind of like Ring Brothers, because we've, between me and Kilmer, kind of had some different connections in the hot rod world. So do them at places like that kind of create an experience for people. Not only is it really cool training, but you get to do it in a place where most people don't even get to go, like, check out, and you get to hang out there for the whole weekend and see all this cool stuff.
I mean, to give David props, I mean, the venue was amazing, but the amount of, I went last year, and just the connections and everything. I mean, the nights were just as fun as the day. Yeah. I mean, we had a blast. I mean, just the dinner and that alone was just even worth it. Just the actual experience. So
We are lucky. I mean, people don't
so
like
fantastic.
Those people made the event. Like, I think that's the one thing that maybe people that don't know them or didn't go to the event don't understand is, like, for one, Ring Brothers is, like, literally in the middle of nowhere. Like, right. It's in, like, Podunk, Wisconsin. There's not a lot going on. But they're, like, the most genuinely awesome people in the world. Like, Jim, Mike, Nancy, like, pretty much everybody in the whole shop, like, everybody that works there, too, they're just – they're, like, phenomenal people. So, like, they almost set the tone for the whole weekend just because, you know, they helped, you know, they helped me set it up too, just because we are kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So we had to figure out, like, places to eat.
Right.
And then obviously COVID was happening. So, like, you're not supposed to, like, gather and do all these different stuff. So she arranged all these different things for us so that we could have, like, a, you know, relatively safe place for everybody to get together and eat and do all the things that we wanted. And she just, like, she went above and beyond what anybody could have done, for one. And then for two, like, they were having fun too. So they hung out with everybody, like, you know, after the class, we went out to dinner and got drinks and hung out, and they really enjoyed it too. So they kind of, like, set the tone for everybody to just really, like,
nice,
have an awesome time.
Yeah. We spoke with Jen a few weeks back, and she talked about, you know, what it was great, you know, what a great time it was, how much fun that she had there and everything. So when you guys do the class, I mean, I know you mentioned, like, wet sanding, and obviously if it's Gloss University, you're going to do some kind of paint correction. But I mean, you know, is there a set deal, or is it like one might be one thing, one might be a different thing kind of deal?
Yeah, we're going to do some different classes. I mean, like, right now we're doing the advanced paint correction and or wet sanding and paint correction type stuff. So, kind of focusing on that a little bit more, but we're going to branch out on that a little bit and do kind of specific stuff, both on video, but in person as well.
And, right. So when you say advanced, is it for people that already, like, have an idea of wet sanding, have some, they just want to tweak it, or can somebody who maybe does, you know, great paint correction but doesn't know how to wet sand yet, would it be a good class for them to kind of jump in on too?
That's where I think is where the advance comes in, is kind of the latter of what you were just saying, because you get some of the classes where you'll get people that show up that have never used a polisher before,
right?
Which can be kind of difficult to try to teach somebody to wet sand and polish when they've never used a machine at all. Right. So, like, I think the overall goal is that not only do you know how to use a machine, but you have a basic understanding of, like, the pads and polishes. Like, you can get relatively good results on a regular basis, and you understand what you're doing on the polishing side. I think that's where the average person, unless they're, like, a, you know, totally into it hardcore and has figured out and read all these different, I would say forums, because it used to be the forums, but
yeah,
gone through all the different Facebook groups and all the different places that they can find information and watch videos and try to figure it out, just kind of, I don't know, resolves it that way. So
nice. Okay,
so Alex, you can't go.
Yeah.
But I think people don't, the average person, unless they're, like, going to the events that we go to, they don't know some of the different things. So they just do their general stuff. So as long as they understand the process, they can come and they can learn, you know, different types of polishing techniques. Like, obviously, right, Noxie does, you know, like a scrubbing technique that's a little bit different. You know, there's a lot of people that don't know that you can, I know it sounds stupid, but they don't know that you can use the DA on a side and scallop with it or do right, different things. They don't understand just, like, basic concepts that, again, like, you or I, that or any of us would think is, like, relatively common sense. Like, for them, it's so fresh and so new that they just are unsure of themselves and don't really have a basis to go off of.
Yeah.
So that for them, like, you kind of hear it on a lot of different trains where people are just, they learn a bunch of stuff, but ultimately they walk away with having, like, a baseline of understanding and feeling like they have confidence in what they're doing moving forward.
Nice. And then what does the class typically run?
That's going to change. Like, it'll probably differ between how many days and the venue, you know, cause obviously different places cost different amounts, right, but I think generally it'll probably be in the $1,000 to $1,500 range for, you know, 2 to 3 day classes. And then we'll probably do some the short classes like we did at Serum Summit and different events like that. That'll be like you know, 4-hour classes or full day classes that might range from, you know, $200 to $500 or something like that.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
See,
like the serum summit class was $175.
Right. See, I like the I've always said I don't want to do trainings. I don't like trainings, this and that. Because for me, like the trainings that I think of are, you know, like the companies that want you to
product pay, based.
Yeah. Right. $500, $700, $800, and they're just want to train you to be able to use their stuff. But when you guys, you know, you talk like $1,500, you're like, man, that's a lot. But to me, like that's the training you go to, right? Because that's the training that you are going to learn light years beyond just going to, you know, X brand's training and they're just gonna say, okay, well, you know, here's your one little panel, you know, polish, compound and polish it out and let me see how it looks and then we'll preview or whatever. So, you know, for anybody listening, this is the one that I think everybody should go to. And
like different classes, right? Like if you're doing more of an entry-level class, I could see somebody like wanting to have a huge variety of like different compounds, polishes, right, pad, like let people get the opportunity to try all these different things and let them kind of go off on their own. Like for us, like we want to have a variety of different products for each different class, but really like our goal isn't to go dive deep into like pads and compounds or something. We're right, working on more or less the process. So like the types of products don't matter. And we're just kind of rotate through good quality products on the market that, you know, want to contribute into quality training.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, a perfect example is at that Ring Brother was O'Burke, McGuire's, Lake Country. I mean, you guys kind of had a little bit of everything, even though there's competing products there. There was not like one, you know, God forbid, I would have hoped everybody would like to use O'Burke. But.
even 3M, you know, they're a pretty big player and, you know, they were willing to contribute and
sandpaper
kind of play in the field. Yeah. With some other brands that kind of compete. So
nice.
I think people are starting to realize that it's more about the overall process and stuff like that. And I think people appreciate getting to use something and they're either going to like it or they don't, but it's mainly focused on the overall process, not whether they like a compound or not.
Right. Because if you train a process and you say, okay, here's your whatever Gret compound. And even if they go back home and they don't have O'Burke or 3M or, you know, whatever, but they've got something else that's similar, they're still going to be able to replicate that process versus like, if you go to one of these brand deals that all they're teaching you is their, you know, system. And sometimes that doesn't work on every car. So, yeah.
I mean, and that's going to be a big thing, I think, even for O'Burke in general, as we want to do some more training, just even locally here in Wisconsin to get some legs under us. And that's right. Dude, we're teaching rhythm and flow, trying to get pads and polishers in people's hands because it's not as scary as what it really needs to be.
Right.
Yeah.
No, definitely. All right. Well, I mean, we're at an hour and a half. It's 10 o'clock.
Kick this B.
Yeah. I don't want to go too much longer. You know, are you guys an hour behind us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're so, 9 o'clock.
Yeah. So I don't want it to be too late for you guys or whatever. Let you guys do your thing. Again, Chris and Dave, man, I really appreciate you guys jumping on this, especially so quickly after this whole transition
went down.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's hopefully maybe you know, this will boost our little podcast a little bit more with the super scoop.
That was the funniest.
Yeah.
Super scoop.
Yeah. So I appreciate it, guys. I'll piece this together in the morning. It'll go up tomorrow. So I'll tag you guys.
I want to say congratulations to both of you guys, man.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Jason. Very much, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
If there's anything thankful we can do in the group to support it, let me know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm gonna be on the lookout for that Talladega night pad.
Yeah,
I can see. I fucking told you, I got to do that pad.
You have to do it, just like a limited edition or something.
Yeah.
What would it be? It would be a pad pad that doesn't do shit. So it's like a super soft foam that like just doesn't work at all. We've got some ideas for some April Fool's items coming up. So
nice.
If I still had a job, I'd go back by the crazy printer and make you a rookie bobby pad.
Oh Jesus!
Right there, right on the Velcro.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. I really do. I'll hit you up when I'm out there.
Yeah, yeah. And for anybody who wants to maybe reach out to you guys or get a hold of you guys or something.
If y'all can't see me, my power just went out.
Oh, sweet. Shit.
Yeah, no, we don't see you.
Yeah,
no, I can't even hold. Dude, that's scary.
Because I can't see me either.
So where does everybody find you at? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, OnlyFans?
Yep. Yeah. You can reach us at oberkarcare.com on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok now. So we have that going TikTok for too? Us.
All right.
TikTok. What up? Oberk.
Hashtag go find him on TikTok.
We also have distributors throughout the United States and Canada. You can find that on oberkarcare.com. And then David is going to be manning the emails and be for people who don't have visual reference, we're watching Jason Bruno go through a completely dark room.
I'm wondering how he's actually getting it to pull him up.
Yeah.
But it looks
Dave, you can reach David at info@oberkcarcare.com. You can reach me at chris@oberkcarcare.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I got to go because my wife is freaking out. So everybody have a good night. Thank you.
Right, Jason.
Dave.
Bye, Jason.
Bye.
All right.
Okay. And then Dave, for anybody who didn't catch the, trainings episode, where can they catch you at? Same thing.
You can reach me at info@oberkcarcare.com. And if you're looking for the training stuff, it's info@glossuniversity.com.
Nice. All right, gentlemen. Again, I appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Alex.
I think this was lived up to expectations. I've been looking forward to this one since we set it up last week.
Nice.
So, hopefully we can have you guys on again in the future when you drop that Talladega Nights Ricky Bobby pad.
Talladega Nights
for another super scoop.
maybe cream old cream pies will join us.
Yeah. Yeah, we can see. He did make it onto the podcast.
I heard he shouldn't. Yeah. It shouldn't be cream shoes. It should be cream pies.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not Boss Eddie cream shoes. Just call them cream pies.
That's there right. We're going to review our corporate policy after this phone call.
I'm not the one that loves them. It's him.
Yeah. All right. I'm just teasing you.
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right, guys. Well, you have a good night. I'll talk to you
soon. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.